Good morning. 6:24 a.m. on Thursday, September 26th. It's another dark and cold day. It's not as cold as it was yesterday. It's actually a little bit too warm for the parka. $18.21. Not a bad first mile. Anita chided me quite appropriately for bemoaning a time that not so long ago I would have celebrated as woohoo, good time. It's under 19 minutes. But again, no tunes. I'm just thinking and walking, and sounds like I'm poking along. See if I can pick up the pace on the second mile here. Otherwise, it's going to be really late by the time I get back. And I have a kid to get off to school, wife to get off to work. Yesterday was one of those curious days where I actually got some stuff done. Woo! Not exactly all the stuff, all the things, and certainly not all the things I should have gotten done, but I made progress. But the curious part was that it was an eating day. Every once in a while I have these days where I can't get full. I can't get my appetite satisfied. And I don't know if it's because I'm missing some dietary requirement and my body is telling me, go eat something else, go eat something else. Or if it's psychological thing where I was feeling the need for comfort, so I was feeling the need for comfort food. There was a point in the day where it's like, oh yes, I want something, but what? And I was ridiculous because I had already eaten probably 2 days worth of calories. Wound up making an extra trip to the grocery store yesterday just to get something to fix for dinner that I could stomach. And it came out very well. I got a little steak and some fresh broccoli, some mashed potatoes, and it worked out pretty well. I grilled the steak outside. And I wasn't quite as hungry for the rest of the day after dinner for some reason. So I'll take that as a positive sign. So I was going to do some I was going to do some recording yesterday morning, and the work crews were here. Not in my yard, but in all the yards all around. The ones next door, the ones behind me. Heavy engines. Lots of grinding, lots of shouting. So, not a day to record. Perhaps today. Get a couple of little things done today, maybe. Still have a couple stories I need to read for Crime City Central. Still have some parts to read for PC Herring. And I've got lines that Abby Hilton is looking for. A couple of retakes that shouldn't take more than a few minutes if I can just find a few minutes of quiet. Perhaps I can get those done today. it is a pretty lovely morning. It's 50 degrees. There's not a lot of clouds up there. Oh, there's the moon. It's the moon right overhead at sunrise, so it must be last quarter moon, or very nearly. Dog, intrigued by being followed. Generally a lovely morning. I'm looking forward to the day. Today's Thursday, so it means I have high school kids this afternoon. And I hope they give me pages. I've got some great work coming out of this group. Got some fantasy coming out. I've got some, I'm not sure what, contemporary horror perhaps. I got some historical fiction. Looks like historical fantasy. I have some werewolf fantasy. I'm not too thrilled with, but if it the first few paragraphs, which is all I've seen so far, really quite good. A couple of little hiccups, a couple of small pieces. Good morning. How are you this morning? A couple small things. Interesting to see how novice writers, they tend to make some of the same point of view mistakes that I am currently grinding my teeth over in the books that I'm editing, because I made them too. I had a nice chat with Deborah Geary last night. It was, it's been a long time since I've talked to Deb, because she's so ridiculously popular and so ridiculously busy that she and I don't get to chat the way we used to. We used to chat on a daily basis almost, back when she was selling 12 books a month. And I know that some of you are reading her books. I know at least one of you is one of her beta readers, which is, I think, I can't tell you how cool that is. I can't tell you how pleased that makes me that should be happening. The latest book, what is it, A Lost Witch? The new one, the first one in the new series. I read most of it the day before yesterday, and then finished it yesterday. That was lovely. I enjoyed it a great deal, and it was one of the things that I think I'm glad I did. And it was, at the time I was thinking, oh, I really should be doing something else, but the reality was I really should be reading that book, because talk about inspiring, and talk about kicking my butt and getting it in gear, reading a Deborah Geary book does that. It makes me think there is hope for me, and because she's so good. Not unlike some of my reactions in the past, which have been, well, hell, if this sells, mine should. No, because her stuff is really so good. And it's like, yes, Monkpool. It is possible to write good stuff. Here's good stuff. I can write like this. I can write good stuff. The thing is that one of my problems at the moment is that I'm reading all this old stuff, and it's not great. It's not what I could do today. It's not what I would do today. And yet, and because of that, I'm dissatisfied with the work and myself, and it's difficult to get it to roll out, and it's hard to get enthusiastic over stuff that I know is really badly flawed and that I really can't do anything about. But for a whole variety of reasons, not the least of which is I think it's important to leave those footprints behind as mile markers, as signposts of where I've been, where I came from, how I've developed. If you look at Quarter Share, it's a really simple story. Half Share is not much better. It's a little bit deeper. He's got a little more character development. A lot of people don't like the character development. I think they're reacting to him and that really aggravating youthful character that he has in Half Share, the arrogant character that carries through to a certain extent into Full, but is been largely bumped away by the time we get to Double. So yeah, it's hard to separate the character from the story, from my skill as a writer, from my storytelling power. And there's so many people who think that there's so much there that I look at and say, oh, but there's so little. There could be so much more. I guess that's the way I look at it. There could be so much more. However, they are the stories that started my career, so I can't really get too down on them. Walking and not talking. I'm thinking about the ridiculously cowardly act that's been perpetrated recently. There's a webpage that lists independent authors who are buying reviews and casting aspersions on pretty much the top 5% of pretty much every indie author in the top 5% of publishing, accusing them of buying five-star reviews, accusing them of purchasing their positions without any proof, without any rationale, without any actual information other than it just isn't possible that these books should be that popular among their readers. They're just not that good. No book is that good. I don't believe it, therefore they must be buying them. The reality is, well, there's a couple on there that probably are, but not all of them. I think I talked about reviews before. There's a correlation between reviews and sales. There's definitely a correlation between reviews and sales. People who have more reviews have more sales. They have generally higher sales rankings overall. They generally sell more books. The problem is that correlation does not imply causation. It's not the reviews that are driving the sales. It's the sales that are driving the reviews. And that's what everybody seems to be missing. That's what everybody seems to be kind of lost on. I think the reality has to do with how pleased or how angry. I think a lot of my one-star reviews, particularly what I call the drive-bys, the people who are leave one review for one book ever, and it's mine, and it's a one-star review. I have a lot of them. So I think at least some of them are motivated by the fact that the story does not match their expectation. They're so far from their expectation that it angers them enough to leave a review, which is fine. At least they're not waffly. So I actually have a little bit higher review per sale than some. The extra reviews come from the bottom side of the ladder. But I also have a lot of really positive, really upbeat, really, really lovely five-star reviews. Not so many people these days are comparing me to Heinlein, but that's probably because I'm reaching down into an audience that never read Heinlein, doesn't know who he is. I'm getting into the fringes of science fiction fandom, in a sense. So, yeah, to have this come up, and the reason that I was thinking about it was that Deb Geary's name was posted prominently as number one on the list, because she has a whole lot of five-star reviews. And the reason, of course, is that she's into her 10th book. People who didn't like her stuff peeled off early. They never came back. 17 minutes. Almost 18. Yikes. And I left the garage door open last night. What a putz. Oh well. Make it easy getting back into the house. I don't have to track wet grass. So, yeah, it was unfortunate because she does not buy reviews. What she does is a metric buttload of books. At any rate, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.